Live scores happening this morning in the English Football League Cup. Liverpool have gone 1-0 up over Arsenal, Mossy.
They have. It's the second leg of the semi-final. So winner, and it's 0-0 aggregate going into this one. So Liverpool have taken the lead over the two legs as well for a spot in the final against Chelsea.
Now, keeping an eye also on the golf, currently the leader in the American Express is Doug Grimm at 5-under through through 12 holes, rather. But interestingly, Jason Day not too far behind in that tournament. He's at 3-under, tied for 11th through 12. Brad Druitt through 8 holes, he's at 2-under. So the two Aussies in the field are doing quite well in that one at the moment. Adam Scott, he's quite a way off the pace in the European tournament, which is the Abu Dhabi HSB Championship. He's currently at 2-under. And the lead there is at 9-under. That will get underway later this evening. So they're just some live scores that are happening. Overnight, Australia defeated England by 9 wickets in the first of the T20 matches of the Women's Ashes last night at Adelaide Oval. In the tennis, Chris O'Connell, Alex de Minaur and Madison Inglis all had wins. Sam Stosur unfortunately bowed out. And Nick Kyrgios went down in 4 sets this morning, last night. And this morning, Mossy, we have got a ton of text messages about the ever-divisive Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, I have to say there's not a lot of love on the text line for Kyrgios. So we've got one here from Dash from Cronulla. Kyrgios is an embarrassment to Australia. If a foreign player carried on like him, we'd hate him. He's all fun and giggles when things are going his way, but he carries on like a petulant brat when things aren't.
Nick, I'm a pork chop. Disease is spreading to the crowd last night. Disgusting. Failing to clap Medvedev winners, cheering his double faults, shouting out in ball tosses. It was hang your head stuff. What's happening to our country? Master Monkey, I agree with you. I didn't like it last night. And I didn't like it the other day as well with the Cristiano Ronaldo sue, which sounds like a boo. I think I made the reference. It's like wearing a tuxedo to the pub. It just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right when that's happening at a tennis match. I think we need to be better as fans. Yes, some people will say it creates an atmosphere, but maybe I'm in a generation where I think a little bit more respect needs to be shown.
Yeah, and I'm firmly in that camp as well. I'll tell you what made me uncomfortable last night was not cheering or clapping at least good tennis from Medvedev. Mm. There were some brilliant shots that he played and some brilliant serving. And when he won a point and it was dead silent, I didn't feel comfortable. It's not the Aussie way. It's not the way we've been. It's fine to get behind our own and you know, try and get Kyrgios across the line because he's Australian, obviously. But yeah, that didn't sit comfortably with me at all. And here's another one. I'm sick of hearing, and these are all in capital letters, about this Kyrgios clown. We have a top tennis player called Alex de Minaur, by the way. Well, I think Alex de Minaur will get a lot more love now that Kyrgios is out of the tournament.
He's still kicking along, isn't he? Hey, boys, there is a tennis player with a great blend of athleticism, competitiveness and entertainment. And he's a Frenchman called Gael Monfils. He's a great entertainer and a fantastic competitor at the same time, as well as being a top bloke. Only made some major finals, but yet to win one. And he's someone you can get behind as a fan. Love your work through the summer. Thank you, Dave. So that's from Dave. Yeah, look, I like Gael Monfils as well as a player, but let's look at his record in Grand Slams, for example. He's made a quarterfinal at the Australian Open, that was 2016, semifinal of the French at 2008, Wimbledon fourth round 2018, US Open 2016. Nick Kyrgios, what's his record in Grand Slams? Quarterfinal at the Australian Open 2015, French Open third round 2015 and 16, quarterfinal in Wimbledon 2014. US Open third round 4 years. So really when you look at them in slams, not too different as far as the record is concerned, but I agree, certainly very, very entertaining. So yeah, plenty of texts coming through this morning and we'll get through those as the morning goes on. Plenty to talk about. Well, there's a lot to talk about in the world of basketball as well. COVID has certainly caused plenty of interruptions in the NBL so far in 2022. And as a result, there's been A few shocks and surprises by outsiders like Adelaide 36ers, New Zealand Breakers, in fact, and that result coming at the expense of the Sydney Kings, and I'm sure that will be much to the disappointment of our big sports breakfast basketball expert, Brad Rosen, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Brad.
Yeah, good morning, boys. No, I'm joking. Thanks for that, boys.
It probably is a little bit like that as a Sydney Kings fan at the moment, though. It's a roller coaster.
Oh, it is. We had a position to win that against New Zealand last week, and I think we ended up 18-1 was the finish in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, the Kings have only won one of their last, well, only one last quarter in the eight games they've played, and they've been in every game to win it. So they've just got to try and fix that up, and tonight they take on a very good Brisbane Bullets team who is coming off a good win as well. Nathan Sobey, who is obviously a player that won the bronze medal at the Olympics, so it's going to be a good game.
And Brad, apart from more wins, where do you think the Kings need to improve if they're to make the finals?
Oh, I think, well, number one, down the stretch there is the first thing, like I was saying, at that fourth quarter. They're in good positions, and at the moment, they're just not playing that, you know, in a sense of basketball, the way we say it is. They're just not playing for 40 minutes. You know, they play great minutes here, great minutes there, but if you, in this league, you have to play a full 40 minutes. If I talk rugby league, you got to play a full 40 minutes, you know, and you just got to make sure that 80 minutes, I should say, sorry, in rugby league. So you just got to make sure you play every minute because it's so crucial. And right now, they're just not playing at that percentage.
Illawarra Hawks and Melbourne United, obviously two of the heavyweights of the competition. Were you surprised by the Hawks' loss?
Look, no, and you know, when you've got Matthew Dellavedova, who is again another bronze medal player, coming out and hitting 7 threes and having 8 assists or whatever it was, and had 33 points, you're not going to win many games. The first thing I'd say is I'm shocked in the sense Illawarra allowing that to happen, but in that sense, sometimes a loss is what they needed. They were running nicely, and as good as they were, you just probably need to be shaped correctly. So I think Gore should be, I don't want to say upset with a loss, but I think he realises sometimes you've got to take one in the bag to get better.
And we actually spoke to Brian earlier in the week.
Oh, isn't he a legend?
Oh, so
honestly,
good.
It was just nuggets of gold everywhere from a
brilliant,
coaching and leadership.
I had 3 years, and I'm still very friendly with him. About a couple of years as even as an assistant coach, and geez, we had some fun.
Yeah, and that's why I bring him up with you, Brad, because I'd love to get your insights as someone who's worked under him and close to him. What's he like from that perspective?
Number one, he's the funniest bloke in the world, I tell you. He has just always got a crack and a laugh and everything. He's great to be around. But the best thing about Gorge is his people management, and I think that's pretty much what he taught me when I was under him, and I take that in life and in sport. And just the way he's able to talk to his players, communicate, and know exactly what their role is. And every player that steps on that court knows exactly what they've got to do. That's the first thing. His players' manager is unbelievable. His second thing is he just doesn't take time off. He's just one of those guys. You know, you hear it in rugby league with, you know, your Melbourne Storms coaches and, you know, Robbo in the Roosters and Wayne Bennett. And these guys, they just don't take time off. They're always thinking of ways of improving. And you know, all these players that are coached by these players, and you hear it all the time, they will literally do whatever they have to do to play for this coach, and they'll dive him. I'm being extravagant, but that's how they talk about it. And that's what Gorge is. He's just a master of what he does.
Yeah, that really shone through the other morning in the chat we had with him. He really seems to put the person first and the player second.
Well, he does. And, you know, he'll go out to dinner with the players. He'll, you know, go get coffees with them. It's not just show up to training and let's get it done and why aren't you playing. He understands every individual. And you can't treat everyone the same. That's like in life as well. You know, I have a business, and when you go and work with staff, not everyone's the same. So you've got to, you know, extract out what you want from that player and then work at his strengths. And Gorge is the maestro.
And if anyone missed that interview earlier in the week, you can go to the Big Sports Breakfast podcast. It certainly is worth a listen.
Oh, have a listen. He's a legend. And yeah. Geez, he's funny, I tell you.
Now, you should be excited tonight with the Sydney Kings because this looks a winnable game against the Brisbane Bullets.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, and that's as simple as it is. And Brisbane are one of those teams where they can be good and not so good, and I heard you guys do the intro before. It's been very interesting. A lot of teams have been rusty after COVID, which is expected. So if you can come out hard and play, you know, ready, they'll be good. I have no doubt today will be a fantastic matchup. The Kings have been playing well, even though their position is not showing that, and that's because they're not finishing games well. But also the Brisbane coach is James Duncan. He was the assistant coach for the Sydney Kings the last 2 years, so that'd be good. But watch out, there's two fantastic matchups tonight. Robert Franks from Brisbane versus Xavier Cooks, who is having an outstanding year for the Kings, and also Nathan Sobey, as I said before, a bronze medal winner, versus Jalen Adams, the Kings import. So that is fantastic news. And of course, I should mention, we've also got RJ Hunter, the Kings import. Unfortunately, he's had a knee injury. He's out for the season, so the Kings are on a lookout for a new import.
Brilliant. Let's put some money in our listeners' pockets. Brad, who wins the clash between Adelaide and Melbourne United?
Oh, that's going to be a beauty. Melbourne United, well, they've got Mitch McCarron, who played with them last year and won a title. He's now in Adelaide. So that's going to be beautiful. I'm going to go for an absolute underdog here. Melbourne should win it. They're 7 or 8 games or whatever they're in a row. But I'm going to go for Adelaide at home on the back of Mitch McCarron having a ripper.
Okay.
It's a roughie. It is a roughie, but that's for the punters.
That's what we like. $2.90 Adelaide over Melbourne, $1.40. And just in that earlier match, Brisbane actually favourites $1.40 over the Kings, $2.90.
Yeah, and look, rightly so, because the Kings have not been playing well, but it just wouldn't surprise me. That's another roughie. You can just see it. The problem we've got at the moment is it's really hard because of COVID. People just haven't got their legs under them. But both of those games could easily go with the underdog.
Now, the Illawarra-Perth game is interesting. So that betting at the moment, Illawarra $1.73, Perth $2.10. But, gee, the schedule is brutal for the Hawks over the next week. And it's just going to be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, as a betting proposition over this next week, it's a bit dicey, isn't it, the Hawks?
Yeah, it is tough. And it doesn't help. Like, you know, we've got to see teams play for the next week or so to really get their legs under them. I mean, you saw South East Melbourne Magic. They were down by 40, I think it was, at one stage, because they hadn't played for 28 games or 28 days. And that's a lot when you haven't, you know, when you're getting into swing. Then you come up against a team that has already played 2 or 3 games. So it is tough. I'm going to go for Illawarra to beat Perth. Perth didn't look good. They've been on the road for a long time and haven't played much at all. But Illawarra to bounce back after that. I'm going to say a sort of a bad loss against Melbourne, but not unexpected.
And what about Tassie? Can they cause an upset over South East Melbourne?
No, I don't think so. Not after what happened to South East Melbourne last week. They'll be ripping about that loss. They won't be happy. Tassie, loving them. Great to have them back in the league. But no, can't see them winning that one.
Well, Brad, enjoy the weekend's basketball. It's good to see a bit more rhythm happening in the NBL with COVID.
Yeah,
and hopefully we'll get a result for
the Sydney Kings. Come on, boys. Go those Kings.
That's the energy we expect. That was in stark contrast to the way we opened.
Oh,
well,
Brad,
you pulled me on, boys, with just saying they were struggling. Come on.
Love it, mate. You always bring it. And yet the Sydney Kings in action tonight against the Brisbane Bullets. Brad Rosen, pleasure as it always is.
Have a great day, all. Go those Kings.
Brad Rosen joining us this morning. Gee, we really are getting plenty of messages all about Nick Kyrgios, really, this morning. I'll start with this funny one, though, Mossy. Surely there's more important things going in the world than Nick Kyrgios. There's a 3-year-old Pacers maiden on at Cobram Trots today. That's from Peter. Thank you, Peter. The only problem with that text message is you didn't tip me the winner at Cobram Trots Race 3, where there's a lot of maidens. I'd happily cop one. But a lot of text messages coming through. Mossy, what have you got for us?
Yeah, there's another one here which is interesting. It definitely sparks debate. Boys, there are many unwritten rules in sport, but we always hear about what's in the spirit of the game. Just want your thoughts on the underarm serve in tennis, Gavin from Crow's Nest. What are your thoughts?
It's grown on me, I've got to say. I didn't like it at first. But it's a weapon. Jim Courier said it last night in commentary, and you've got to respect greats like Jim Courier. He called it a weapon. And it is, because I think the majority of times that Nick Kyrgios played that, certainly last night and in this tournament, he's won the point. It can catch them unawares. To me, it's like a drop shot, which is obviously a tool that a lot of players sometimes use. Is it in the spirit of the game? It's questionable, precisely because Nick Kyrgios is really the only person that does it. But it's grown on me, and I'm giving it the tick. I'm saying it's okay. What do you say, Mossy?
The traditionalist in me wants to rule it out and ban it. Mm-hmm. It's in the laws of the game. Is it in the spirit of the game? I don't think so, because I just think serving is such an art. And some will say that serving underarm at that level of tennis is an art, because you've got to get it spot on, otherwise it's a gimme to to the opponent. So I get that argument, but the traditionalist in me says no. Not having it.
Let's not kid ourselves. Love him or hate him, the tennis promoters, organisers and sponsors know Kyrgios is what is needed to attract more interest to the game. I say this because he always gets the prime time spots. Have a look at scheduling so far this tournament, where world number one Ash Barty, playing in her home slam, gets day games. That's from Doesn't Matter. Yeah, look, scheduling is often an interesting thing with Grand Slam tournaments. She is playing tonight, Ash Barty. I think often with the they might even get a choice, or they do consult, I think, when they would prefer to play as well. And obviously they try to give them as much time as possible between matches. If they do play the day, then they'll go to the night as well. Well, Nick Kyrgios, when he played his opening round, that was an afternoon game, you know, and then he went to the night. And it was probably more based because Daniel Medvedev was world number two. So, yeah, look, scheduling can always be a bit of an issue. But I think that one certainly deserved top billing last night, for sure and certain. It was terrific tennis between Nick Kyrgios and Daniel Medvedev. Say what you like about Kyrgios, he really brought it last night, brought some wonderful tennis and shots and really was entertaining. Well, MicroShare horse ownership has been growing in interest in recent years, hasn't it? It really gives everyone a bit of a chance to have fun, you know, exciting and affordable horse racing ownership. TRL seems to take it even a step further. And for regular listeners of the Big Sports Breakfast, I'm sure you've heard that our own Laurie Daly is one of those involved. And to tell us more, well, this man is the Big Sports Breakfast, Terry Kennedy. Good morning, TK.
Good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Mossy. And Laurie's on a permanent holiday, I think.
Good to speak to you, TK. Obviously, these days you're with the Racing League as the manager of commercial there. Tell us about TRL and why it's such an exciting thing for people to be a part of.
Ryan, you sort of touched on it. I mean, why should all the rich people have fun? Why should the sheiks and the queens and the kings and the corporate barons and the CEOs, why should they have all the fun and that unbridled thrill that the passion of racehorse ownership can bring in, that thrill? There's nothing like it. And you've experienced it as well, that thrill of ownership. And there is nothing like it. And that's why they're involved. Why should the rich people have the fun? So with the Racing League, not only do you get to join the rich people, you sort of jump the fence, so to speak, and get that thrill of racehorse ownership, and there is nothing like it, but you do it for just $200. And with Laurie Daly as your ambassador for the New South Wales Tycoons, you actually get not one horse, but you get six horses. And I think, you know, with the announcement of that race, you've been promoting the syndicate for the Magic Millions Day. It's worth $1 million. And, you know, we've already got nine horses eligible for that race next year on Magic Millions Day.
Wow. TK, great to hear your dulcet tones on these airwaves again, mate. Hope you're well.
I don't hate soccer, Mossy, right?
It's football. How many times do I have to tell you?
It's always soccer in this country. It always will be.
Mate, tell us about the $1 million race in the syndicate that's been announced for the Magic Millions.
Look, I think you guys have been talking about it too, the success of the recent Magic Millions, all the records that tumbled, but they just continue to innovate. A little bit like Racing New South Wales and Peter Volandis, and Magic Millions have come up with this new race. It's $1 million, restricted to three-year-olds and up, but just syndicated horses. And you know, we bought nine yearlings at the Magic Millions last year, and those nine horses across the three teams, the New South Wales Tycoons, the Queensland Rogues, and also the Vic Hustlers in the Racing League, are all eligible for that $1 million race. So yeah, it's quite a thrill when you think for $200, not only in the next 12 months just racing in the normal ecosystem of the sport, but also eligible next January for a $1 million race, which is restricted to syndicated horses sold at that Magic Million sale.
Mm. And you've got a runner tomorrow, TK.
We do, mate. Yeah, Penso Allais for the legend Joe Pride. Is there a better trainer of a tried horse than Jo Pride. Look, she's full of talent, this mare. She was desperately unlucky two starts ago at Warwick Farm, and then she was disappointing, to tell you the honest truth, last time as favourite at Gosford. But look, Jo's a master of the tried horse. She's got plenty of talent, and I think that's the beauty, Mossy and Ryan. When you look at the racing league and the three teams across the racing league and six horses per team, you've got that wonderful mixture of 4 2-year-olds and two tried horses, but you're not buying and waiting. You're buying into an absolute going concern. You know these horses can gallop. You know these horses can win. So the first four tried horses we've had at the track, they've all won already. So you're not wondering whether they can gallop or not. You're going to get plenty of bang for your buck, and I think that's a crucial thing. But, yeah, Penso Olay, the wet track worries me a little bit, to be honest. She doesn't like – well, she hasn't won on a wet track, but, you know, Joe thinks that being by So You Think, beautifully bred, by the way, and the mile at Randwick will suit her. So we'll be giving Penso Olay a big, big cheer. But it's not often in racing you get to buy into a going concern. And, you know, that each team has actually had winners already at the track. So it's a – now, it's an enormous value proposition for all your listeners.
Yeah, speaking to Terry Kennedy, the great TK, Richard and Michael Friedman have the exciting Lunar Rocks for New South Wales. What should we expect from it?
Geez, the former hosts of the Big Sports Breakfast just keep on coming, don't they? Richard was my original partner on air. Look,
this show will always be 6 degrees of separation in sport in somehow, shape or form, won't it, TK?
It's funny that, Ryan, isn't it? It is when you think about how long we've known each other. But when you think about Richard, I mean, he's the master. I mean, they've been associated with 5 Golden Slipper winners, which is incredible. He loves this filly. He's just declared that this filly will be winning races. She's trialled up well. She's had a break. She's a half-sister to Shaquero, which won the Magic Millions in 2021. So, yeah, she's beautifully bred as well, and he's super excited. She's just come back into pre-training at their property up there at Hawkesbury. Then she'll come into Richard's Rosehill stable, and they're super impressed, and everyone in the stable love her, and she'll be the spearhead for the New South Wales Tycoon. So she's not long away, and again, all the hard work's been done. So you can just chime in late right now if you go to the website, crl.net, and get involved with a going concern in the racing business in the New South Wales Tycoons, and that doesn't happen very often. But, yeah, Rich is tremendous to deal with, by the way, as well.
Mm, brilliant. Now, speaking of the history of this show, TK, we've got a text in from John from Moorbank. If you get a chance, can you ask TK if he misses not talking to the narc on Tuesdays?
Oh, no. We still talk every Tuesday.
You meet for coffee now, do you?
Don't worry. There's no shortage of narcs, but there's only one narc. No. Strangely enough, Mossy, I don't miss him.
And I bet you don't miss those early morning alarm clocks either, TK.
Look, I've never felt the need to actually spring out of bed at 3:45, Ryan, since, by the way. But no, it's tremendous times, mate. Still love the program, still listen to you guys. And you know, I think always appreciate the listeners and the thrill they gave you every morning.
Yeah, and you made such a difference in a lot of our listeners' lives, TK, and it's great that you're doing wonderful things at the moment with TRL, which has been such a terrific success that you're a major part of as well, and we thank you for joining us this morning and reminiscing as well.
Good on you, Ryan. Yeah, go get involved. Have a look, TRL.net, and buy into a going concern, and you can be racing for millions of dollars.
Good on you. Terry Kennedy joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. Thanks, TK. Now, the stars are out for the NBL. You can catch every unmissable game of the biggest NBL season yet live on ESPN with KO. NBA legend Matthew Dellavedova returns home, plus watch out for potential 2022 NBA draft picks Usman Dieng and Kai Sotto, with 7-foot Chinese star Zhu Qi and 3-time MVP Bryce Cotton sure to light up the court. Watch every NBL game live on ESPN with KO. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. Be part of the program. 13:53:53. Updating those live scores this morning in the English Football League Cup. Liverpool at halftime 1-0 up over Arsenal. And also in the USPGA, the American Express tournament there, Patrick Cantlay is the leader at 7-under through 7 holes. Jason Day, the best of the Aussies, he's at 3 under through 13. In fact, no, Brad Druitt's now equal with him at 3 under through 10 holes as well. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the morning. Open line number 1353 53, the SMS 0419767272. And there's been plenty of text messages coming through this morning about Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, there certainly has. And we just discussed the underarm serve from Kyrgios before. We've got a text here from Tiger Marty. Guys, if Medvedev is standing 5 metres behind the baseline due to Kyrgios' big serve, I have absolutely no problem with the underarm serve.
Yeah, that's another good point about it. If it's a tactic and, you know, it works, why not? This one from Mick from Wagga Wagga. AO crowd a little disrespectful last night, particularly to Medvedev, but definitely towards both players. Nick Kyrgios is a personality. Love him or not, he is great for tennis. He has come a long way as a man in the last few years. He was nothing but respectful to officials and his opponent last night. He is well within his rights to question any ruling, as most players do. Nick has played very few tournaments in the last couple of years, but can be a serious threat to the world's best. The tennis played last night was as good as it gets with both players, and they fought and scrapped to earn every point. Some of Nick's shots, wow. How about we put all the tall poppy syndrome behind us and we can appreciate the gifted athlete that Nick Kyrgios is. The support of Australia might just be enough to propel him to the very top. Mick from Wagga Wagga, I agree with you on all of those points. And I think we were discussing it earlier. You just couldn't look away, Mossy. That was high quality tennis last night.
Yeah, that's right. The only point, you know, that I'd make there is it's going to take them more than the support of Australia to propel him to the very top.
It's going
to
take between the ears a little bit, isn't it?
It really is.
And I think the starting point for Nick has got to be, does he want to be world number one? Does he want to win a Grand Slam? Because you listen to his press conference last night after the match, it's almost like now he's accepting his role as the entertainer and enjoying that role and saying things along the lines of, well, tennis would be dead without people being entertaining. It seems as though that's maybe the space he's happy to be in.
Yeah, that's right. And as I said earlier in the show, Ryan, I fear that if that's where he wants to be, and there was a text a little bit earlier, I've lost where it is now, but, you know, maybe the sports psychologist in our listener said, you know, maybe he's going for the showman tag because he's scared that his best won't be enough to get him to the top. And that's a fair point as well. But, yeah, look, I really think he's going to regret it at the end of his career when it's all quietened down and he's just sitting by himself. If he hasn't won a Grand Slam, I think that will be a major regret.
Well, forget our opinions. One that matters is Roger Rashid, who joins us this morning. Good morning, Roger.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very, very well. Rog, you watch all of the Grand Slams and you have done so for many, many years now. That's as good as you can get in round two of a Grand Slam last night with Medvedev and Kyrgios.
Absolutely. When you look at the matchups, we've had some really entertaining second round matches in a lot of the majors when you look at the draws, and it's generally the floating player who should be one of the top seeds in the top 16 that's not. In this instance, it's Nick. But what Nick brings as a floating player is so much variety, so many weapons, and he brings a game where whenever he plays one of the big guns, it excites him. You know, that sort of that level of tennis and that atmosphere and the vibe on a court excites him. And we saw it last night. He played some high elite tennis, and but over the course of the journey, even though he was close to rocking the boat, you can't substitute the hard work, the match play, the day in day out training, and the competitive nature of someone like Medvedev. That's, you know, generally gets the job done and is able to sort of get their way through all the high levels, you know, the rollercoaster ride that comes with Nick.
Roger, can I put this to you? Mossy and I were discussing it earlier that if, you know, Kyrgios maybe chose to be more focused, in line with Medvedev, who can get to the top of the tree, and less entertaining, would that potentially improve his tennis? There was even a comparison that one of our text messages made before saying, well, we do have a guy on tour like that, Gael Monfils, who can entertain and also go deep into tournaments as well. But when you look at his record, and you coached Gael Monfils, I guess you can give some insight into this. How difficult it is it to be both? Can you be both? Can you be entertaining and also top of your game? Yes, there's been the John McEnroes of the world, but has professional tennis, I guess, made it that it's either one or the other nowadays?
You can entertain. I mean, Gael, you know, Gael puts in a lot of work. You know, he's sat in the top 10 for quite a few years. He's not quite there at the moment, but he's, you know, he's 17 in the world, but he's top 20. He doesn't really move too far outside of the top 20 players in the world. So he's putting in a volume of work off the court as well. And yes, he likes to entertain, but it's not always, you know, what is entertainment? Entertainment means that you can play the big shots, you can accelerate the ball, you can go through your legs when you need to. And, you know, but you're there for most of the year. And for Nick, he understands he's entertainment. He understands his box office when he plays. And maybe, you know, for me, it's just what you want out of the game. So when you start playing the game of professional, you know, of tennis, and you enjoy it as a kid, and then it gets into the professional environment, just because you went to the professional environment, it doesn't suggest that you're striving for the top of the tree. It's just the next level of competition that you're capable of playing in. So, and then it's up to you how you actually deal with that space. We would obviously love to see a fit Nick Kyrgios who's engaged to the yearly competition. We're not, and it doesn't really mean you need to play 22, 23 tournaments a year like some do. Some play more. You could play 15 or so tournaments. In fact, it's only played 15 tournaments in 2 years. So I think that's the frustrating thing for the fans out there when they watched last night, and they because sometimes the entertainment side hurts you at the big moments, and it can't always be. You can't always rely on you know, your weapons to get you through. But you know, as I said, this is all you know, we speculate, but you know, Nick knows what he's after. Is he going to be satisfied? I heard you prior to. Is he going to be satisfied before me coming on? Is he satisfied with his career at the end of it? Who would know? We probably will never know. Mm.
Rog, we'll move on from the Kyrgios Medvedev match in a minute, but I just want to get your thoughts quickly because I was watching, you know, I couldn't turn the TV off last night. I kept having this debate in my own brain between being a fan and being a coach and having my coaching mindset on. I just felt that the sideshow, which, you know, good luck to Kyrgios, but the sideshow really took away from some absolutely quality tennis from Medvedev, and the reason that he is number two in the world and going for back-to-back Grand Slams, in that he just executed the basics so brilliantly at crucial times.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at it from just a purist point of view, Medvedev doesn't have all these different types of shots in his toolkit that Nick has. You know, he hasn't. You know, he's improved his serve. Medvedev, he's served himself out of trouble a couple of times in real clutch moments, which was amazing considering the noise that was in the stadium. And it was, you know, at times it got again, it got to a point where it wasn't respectful, you know, but Medvedev kept his cool, his ability just to stay. At times he's actually got, you know, Medvedev normally, you know, can get a little bit heated under those conditions. You know, and then his ability to push back when he needed to and just stay continually aggressive on the ball and when he had the opportunity and he locked in. And, you know, it was a class act from Medvedev. I mean, that was a 10 out of 10 performance in class, and actually navigating a situation and a scenario that was very, very tricky before you actually were going out and hit the ball. So there's a clear game plan, clear conversation between himself and his coach about how they were going to manage the Rod Laver Arena on that night. And I thought it was absolute class the way he was able to do that. And, you know, he's fit. He can be out there and he can hit the repeat button for 5 hours and you'll see the same things. And eventually, you know, you've got to do an enormous body of work as an athlete, as we all know, to be able to trust yourself and play at a level that's very consistent. And that was Medvedev. Really enjoyed his tennis.
And that's why he's the $2.40 favourite to win the tournament. What may have been lost in headlines with Kyrgios, though, sadly, were the great performances yesterday of the two Aussie men in Alex de Minaur and Chris O'Connell, who took a big scalp in Diego Schwartzman.
Yeah, look, and by the way, in the draw, we want different characters. We just want them more often, you know. Like, so we want what Nick does, you know, if he's there to play more often, and you know, because it is exciting. And you know, Garden Square was full last night. Hadn't seen it full. They just turned up. They just turned up to sit in front of the screen, be at the venue, and watch Nick. These are people that, you know, the people who, you know, you see everybody in the crowd just yelling and screaming, from young kids, you know, to, you know, real, you know, mature age adults. I mean, it was crazy. So these guys, the other guys, Alex de Minaur, he just won economically in straight sets, played really well, beautifully from the start, got on top of his opponent and then just kept the foot down. I thought it was a match that he had to win in straight sets, and he did so. And then Chris O'Connell was the big one, because he was on court three. Really good atmosphere around that court. Diego Schwartzman, who's a quality player, 13th seed, and he's having a really, really strong career. You know, he's been in the top 10. For Chris O'Connell to maturely, after the first set, you can win the first set, but then to maturely stay at a level where he kept challenging Diego Schwartzman from the start of the second set all the way through, that was the big ticket for me, because you can win a set and get a little bit carried away and get a little bit lost in the set, and then come off that. But Chris O'Connell didn't do that. And it's courtesy also of our fans, because they keep you in the game when there are times when you might have a flat spot. And that was a big match for him. I was really, really proud of the way he got through. Mm. And it's a good little payday for him as well. Just over $200,000 in his pocket. So it'll be, you know, that always helps, but he hasn't had a career like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Roger, I've got another question for you before you go around Sam Stosur. But just before that, we've had a listener text in quickly asking for your answer on this. It's probably a yes or a no. Morning, fellas. I'm lining up a punters club bet. Can you ask Roger if Nadal can win in straight sets today? Cheers, Shiraz.
Yeah, he can win in straight sets today. He plays Khachanov. He's a really quality player, big, strong athlete. But I just think Nadal can win, yes, in straight. There's no doubt about that. It's an interesting half of the draws. Verin's in there. He plays Albot. I think there's, you know, if Nadal can get all the way through, get to Zverev and get through, I think he finds his way through the top half. Zverev's obviously a great player. So, you know, it's a good chance of getting through as the tournament opens up. The top half has got... you know, there's some real opportunities there. And on the women's side, you know, we've got a big day in front of us with Ash Barty. And, I expect her to be forced. There's no against Georgie, the Italian, so 30th seed, who is a really good player, in the sense that she's a ball striker. For someone who's light in stature, she's an aggressive ball striker at the ball. So a different type of tennis match for Ash Barty today than she's had in the first two rounds. This is a better quality player. She's played two qualifiers. Now she gets a quality athlete, and we're all looking forward to the match of Naomi Osaka and Anna Samova, who's from the US, who won a tournament this year in the first round, because that match, which I think will be tricky for Osaka, you know, that's the group matching with Barty and Osaka, which will be a popcorn match.
Mm. Now, as I alluded to, Sam bowed out yesterday. How will her career be remembered?
It'll be remembered as an athlete who had a great career, who ticked off on every single facet of being an athlete and giving herself the best opportunity to be rewarded and have great moments in a sporting arena, because she did everything, Sam, to be the athlete, got herself extremely fit. You know, she used psychologists if she needed to. She tried to change her game. It's not natural like watching Ash Barty. She had to, you know, she a bit more manufactured and had to really work at it. And, you know, you've won a major. You've beaten, there's only one Australian woman that's beaten Serena Williams in a major, and she's done it twice, and that's Sam Stosur, and she beat her on the biggest stage you could beat Serena on at the US Open, in front of 25,000 people in a final. And I think that probably sums it up. So you'd have a big smile on your face with Sam Stosur. And finally, the last person that we haven't touched on is Madison Inglis, who won as well. And after beating the 23rd seed Leyla Fernandez, she continued on yesterday, won in three sets. It was a tricky match against a qualifier from the US, Baptiste, who plays quite an aggressive game, serve volleys as well. But so hats off to Madison. She's in the third round and plays Kaia Kanepi. So again, she's got an opportunity in the third round. So that's a really it's going to be a great experience for her.
Yeah, it's been an exciting week for the Australians at the Australian Open so far this week, Roger. And hopefully they'll go deep into the draw. It's been entertaining, and it's always great to talk to you on the Big Sports Breakfast. And we'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, and speak to you on Monday.
Plenty of Sydney racing, Canterbury tonight, Randwick tomorrow. We need to find some winners. Good morning, Brad Davidson.
Yeah, morning, Ryan. Morning, Mossy. How are we, guys?
Very, very well. Now, before we talk about winners for the weekend, what about that Group 1 trial yesterday at Warwick Farm won by Home Affairs? It was like a Group 1 Saturday race, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of these big horses back, aren't we? There are a few other stars in that trial, Hungry Heart, among plenty of others there. But he looked good, didn't he? Home Affairs out in front doing his own thing, and a lovely trial there at Warwick Farm yesterday. Obviously, a big year ahead for him, and we saw what he did down in Melbourne towards the end of the spring. And he's definitely a very, very good horse at his best, and he looks like he's just going to get better this year. So exciting times ahead for him, and we'll continue to keep an eye on those trials as plenty of stars will step out in the coming weeks as well.
Yeah, morning, Davo. How do you see the Carrington Stakes playing out?
Yes, they're going to be fascinating. Mossage, there's been a big move already, guys. $8 into $3.70 for Through the Cracks for the Angelo Davies Yard. Had the flashing light on there first up at Canterbury over the 1,200 metres. Really found the line strongly from the back. It's got a terrific second-up record. 1,400 metres is going to suit. And there's a stack of speed in that race as well. I suppose the only concern is rail out 8 metres. It's going to be a long way off them. If the track is a little bit up and in, that would be a concern. But punters seem happy to dive in early and the $8 straight away. And as I said, now a convincing favourite there at $3.70. I think the next pick in the market is $7.50. So going to start a clear favourite. We'll see if that continues to firm or whether it gets out a little bit more. My thoughts is probably gets back to $4 plus late on race day, as it has been a significant early move.
Speaking of odds, what are your best bets for Randwick tomorrow, Davo?
Yeah, I've made a race 10 number one, Bring the Ransom, just at $10. I found it a tricky meeting to label anything at short odds. So I'm happy to go for a bit of value. Race 10, number one, Bring the Ransom. I just think she profiles well, third up out the 1,400 metres. She was a winner, third up at 1,400. She has a bit of weight, that's the concern, but she gets a claim. And I think she just reacts best when she draws those low gates, when she's able to get a very soft run in transit and then sprint, as we know she can sprint very well. So race 10, number one, that would be my best value on the day. Outside of that, I think, you know, Silent Impact earlier on in the day is going to be pretty hard to beat. He's a horse returning from spell and has trialled particularly well leading in and won two from three last preparation. So he's probably the best of the shorties, but I went with race 10, number one, Bring the Ransom at a bit of value.
And we know Bjorn Baker's strike rate in the last races on a Saturday meeting. He's always a man to follow, and he's got Omudgee in that race the other day. We had him on the show. He gave a nice push for both of those horses, Davo, so you might be on the money. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Well done. Great job with the summer edition. Really enjoyed it right throughout. You've both been tremendous and a job really well done, along with Jamie and all the other guests throughout, Stewie Clark and everyone. It's been a tremendous effort and really enjoyed following, guys.
Good on you, Brad, and you as well. It's been a pleasure having you on board, and as you are each and every week. And the team, you'll be back with them from Monday. Good luck tomorrow, most importantly.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.